don't let your foot off the gas. Don't start doubting yourself. Don't start thinking, oh, it's so close, you know, forget about it, and the kids and school is going to end soon. Don't go to that place. You have plenty of time to make this business work. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Diamond Life Mentor Podcast with your host, Balazs Dibikardos. So I like to do these calls at least once a month and check in with all of you. It's sort of like a State of the Union address to my large Enagic organization. And super excited that we had a record-breaking month again. I believe every month has been a record-breaking month so far this year. So we are in momentum. The Diamond Decade is happening, as I shared in the eFriends newsletter a few months back. And this really is the beginning for massive growth, massive momentum, huge evolution of this business model being more and more widely known about in general, in the marketing space, in the influencer space, in the online social media space, in the network marketing, direct selling space. So there's just this level of like the cat's out of the bag. The secret has been shared. You know, for the longest time when we were doing our presentations, we were always talking about Enagic being a sleeping giant, like a volcano that was waiting to erupt because it was so amazing, so unique, so different. And as you know, it's patented on the product side, it's patented on the business side. And so we knew that we had found something really unique and special, but we just happened to find it way ahead of the masses. And now, just based on everything that's happening, you know, there's a level of exponential growth that must occur for these businesses. And when we were at the 49th anniversary convention last summer in Las Vegas, you know, there's a top leader in the company called Daniel DiMicali, and he was sharing some statistics on a presentation he did with some slides. And it was just talking about the timing of when we find out about certain products or trending things that are almost like a disruption to the way that we live our lives. And that based on when you get involved in a business such as this or marketing a product or whatever, the amount of wealth that you can create is drastically different than when something is already widely accepted and everybody is using it. So up until this point, we were in this like very small percentage of under 1% market awareness for the last like 15, 20 years. And now we're starting to go into the next phase, which is the 1% to 3%, which is still very early. And you're still in a prime position to become wealthy with this company, to really help a lot of people with this company, and to completely change your entire life, both health and wellness wise, but also on the business and freedom and income and so forth. So I just think it's really cool to have our numbers continuing to grow, continuing to scale. And we're growing at 0.275% month over month, which is very powerful. Let's put it that way. So this past month was 2.37%, my bad. But individually in the ranks, I actually can see a growth percentage also. And it's around 2% to 2.5%. On all the different ranks. And at 5A, we actually had 27 people hit 5A last month. And we had 38 people hit 6A last month. We had 8 people hit 6A2 last month. We had 2 people hit dash 2. So the growth is just outstanding. We actually had a total of, you know, 7,997 products, which is astronomical, and $21 million in sales. And out of that, $14.7 million was paid out to the community. And so when you actually look at how much impact that's creating, how many people, families are not stressing about money, being able to pay their bills, not being so caught up with inflation and the government and their job and their raise and all these things. It is absolutely incredible the impact that we are all having together. And so I just want to commend all of you for the effort that you're putting in, for the obstacles that you're overcoming, and all of the things that happen in our businesses and our personal lives that are basically constantly testing us whether or not we want this as bad as we say we want it. Do we really truly desire this type of life? Do we want to overcome all of the stuff that comes with it? Because every single one of us has to experience all of those moving parts, right? And so when you look at someone who is confident, at one point, they weren't confident. When you look at someone who does content and they're able to compose themselves and do great on video, at one point, they were terrified of doing video. You know, when they're getting started in their business and the compensation plan is confusing and you don't quite understand how it all plays out and how it works, at one point, all of us were confused with the compensation plan. And so sometimes we need a reminder that when people have all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the confidence, all the success, all the money, is like, if you just scale it back far enough, they will have so much in common with you. And that is a powerful reminder for you to just be okay with the journey, be okay with the process. Even when it's frustrating, even when you don't think you can learn or figure it out, it's okay, because at one point, all of us go through that, right? I think that's so, so important for everybody to remember. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, even, I like to always remind everybody, like when I first got started at this business, I was 5 years past knowing about the business. I already had the products. I already tried and failed to market it and share it with people that I knew. And I remember some of the top people in Enagic at the time sharing their monthly sales reports on social media, or how many checks they got in the mail, or those kinds of things. And I just couldn't really wrap my head around it. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm struggling to get one sale. I don't even have a sale. And these people are talking about thousands of sales in a month. How in the world is that a thing, right? And there's this massive gap with understanding, with how the business actually works, and all this stuff. And then as I was stuck in this feeling of, I don't know how I would ever be able to create those numbers or how my business would ever grow to be so big, I just kind of brought things back to where I was at in the moment. And I'm like, okay, none of that stuff actually really matters. All it serves me is an example that it's possible, that people are in fact investing in this product. They are in fact succeeding with this business. And when most people in society talk about average income, or the number of people who fail in a business model such as this, or any of these examples that you hear people chirping on the internet and talking smack, it's just the mindset, right? I remember a long time ago, I went to a conference and it was a Robert Kiyosaki weekend event. And he was sharing his story. And he said that when he first got into business, he was advised to be cautious because it's high risk, and that 9 out of 10 businesses fail in their first year or first couple of years. I can't remember exactly, but the probability of failing when you start a business is extremely high. And so when I heard him say that, I was like, oh my God, that's scary, right? Oh my gosh, what would happen if I failed? And I didn't even have this business at the time. I was just thinking in general, like if I was to be an entrepreneur, that would be so scary. 90% chance I'm going to fail. Damn, the odds are really stacked against me. That was my initial mindset. But then he went on to say, so you know what his perspective was? He goes, great, all I got to do is start 10 businesses. And I was like, holy shit, that just completely shifted my mind, because he wasn't thinking that, you know, oh my God, I'm not even going to bother. He was thinking like, all right, worst case scenario, I'm going to start 10 businesses and I know one will be successful because those are the statistics. And I was like, wow. And so when we look at this industry, specifically direct sales, network marketing, affiliate marketing, all this kind of stuff, you'll hear people say the same thing. Like, oh, most people don't make any money. Oh, most people don't. Oh, most people. It's like, listen, guys, the reason that you're here, the reason I'm here, is because we have decided at some point, whether it was right when you first got introduced to this or at some point in the past, you and I, we all together have decided that we do not want to be most people. Does this make sense? So anytime someone tries this argument that says, well, most people this and most people that, is completely irrelevant to you and I, because we've already chosen a path that is not for most people. And so therefore the argument is like non-existent. And then when we're looking at the business itself, we're looking at it, okay, So what exactly are we, what is our version of 9 out of 10 businesses fail inside of this company? And it goes the same sort of thing. It's like 9 out of 10 people will give up in this business model before they make a sale or before they reach 4A or before they go to 6A or whatever. And so you can focus on that. We can look at the numbers in GPM and go, well, this is the percentage of people who failed, or this is the percentage of people who didn't make any sales or make any money or whatever. But that is not the point, because we know, you and I know, that the worst case scenario, even in this company, is actually the best case scenario in other people's realities, meaning that the products themselves, if that's all you were left with, would give you way more value, way more ROI over the long term than you not having these products in your life. And that's worst case scenario if the business side doesn't, you know, I shouldn't say doesn't work out, because that's giving people an easy out. The only reason why this doesn't work out is when you stop putting in the work. Period, end of story. Because there's so much evidence and there's so much proof that people are winning. And when we look at the numbers over here, we literally have a above average higher number of people winning than industry statistics across the board. So even that, we're like defying the numbers. And often I have people like talking about other professions and, you know, the fact that this profession is better than that profession or this kind of stuff. And what we need to remember, guys, is that it doesn't matter who you are or what you do in what profession you are. The percentages overall are the same across the board, right? The 80-20 rule applies to everything. And so what the 80-20 rule represents is that 20% of the people in an AGIC produce 80% of the sales or 80% of the results. Statistically speaking, that is always accurate. So even though we have a large number of overall products sold and people and so forth, 80% of the results come from 20% of the people. And that can go even further, that 80% of the results of the 20% actually are from the 20% as well. So that's like the 1% of the 1%. Like, you can keep multiplying this ratio deeper and deeper down to basically find out that the top people in all of GPM could be probably like 50 people, you know, total, that would be considered like the very top leaders out of 280,000 product sales. And because Enagic doesn't have a clear distinction on our end to see in the back office of how many people are purchasing the product just for the product versus the product and the business together, it's hard for us to fully see the skewed numbers, because there is a large number of customers who literally just have no interest in the business and they're buying the product. And so that actually gets washed away in these numbers, because most people are not willing to do this business in a way that is going to get them the results that they want. So it's just a friendly reminder, like if you went into real estate, if you went into professional sports, if you went into any type of car sales or any type of sales, really, the numbers would be the same. There would be the superstar salesperson at every single dealership. There would be the local realtor who gets the majority of the listings, makes the most money. And then there's literally, I don't know, thousands upon thousands of people who are realtors that have their license, that can sell homes. They don't get any listings, they don't sell any properties, and they don't make any money in real estate. And so therefore, anytime there's an argument like, is this a scam or is that a scam, or any type of this like ignorant thinking, well, would you say that real estate as a whole is a scam? Because most people in real estate don't make money. So is it a scam? What about the stock market? Is the stock market a scam because most people don't make money in the stock market? You know what I mean? So the argument, when we actually apply it across the board, is irrelevant. And we need to get ourselves past the fear of all these things. Like, it doesn't actually matter what people think, because they're choosing to be a part of the society that we have chosen to disassociate from. And that's really important to reminder. I just had this memory come up yesterday from 8 years ago. If you guys follow me on my Instagram account, you would have seen me post it on my stories. But it was just such an amazing reminder 8 years ago. So I was at this particular time, I was a 6A2 in an AGIC, I believe. Most likely, yes, 6A2. I was doing everything offline. I was talking to people face to face. I was sharing the water with anybody who would drink it. I was doing live demos every single day, one way or another. I was doing calls with people every single day, no matter what. And so at this particular point, I had the fire. I had the vision. I had the dream. I had the commitment. I was looking forward to the future. I was looking forward to, like, man, one day I might be blessed enough to become a dad and have my own kids. So a lot of this particular time of my life was forecasting, was dreaming, was focusing on the vision and where I wanted to go and speaking it into existence, which I've talked about on other episodes of my podcast, like really claiming it, talking about it. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing. And it was relentless. I didn't care what people thought. I didn't care if you liked my post. I didn't care if you commented on my post. I didn't need nothing from nobody. I was just proclaiming it, and this is what's going to happen. And so yesterday was really powerful because I got this memory that came up from 8 years ago, and it was a picture that I had seen online. And the picture said, "Money isn't everything, but neither is telling your family, sorry, we can't afford it." And if you're listening to this call right now, how many times have you thought about this? How many times have you had conversations with your loved ones, with your significant other, with your parents, with your children along your journey where if you would have had the money, you would have been happy to spend the money, you would have been happy to do the thing, but you resort to this default excuse automatically. It's like it's programmed in your head that when someone asks for whatever or has an idea and it's outside of the budget or it's outside the norm, you just have this impulse reaction to say, sorry, we can't afford it. How many times have you said this, right? And obviously you're here in this community and you're actively making a change and you're looking to do better financially with your lifestyle, with your freedom and all that, which is powerful. So I commend you for that. And a lot of the reasons why we are here in this business is because at some point we got sick and tired of saying, sorry, we can't afford it. Sorry, we can't. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, fuck, I can't believe that I continue to be put in this situation where nothing is really changing. Nothing's improving. I'm not earning more money. Things are getting more expensive. And I'm constantly stuck in this cycle of wanting to have a good time, wanting to have fun. But as soon as the price tag is in the picture, sorry, can't afford it. You probably say it to yourself when you go out to the mall, you want to get some new shoes. You want to go out to a nice dinner, restaurant, birthday party, whatever it is, and you're doing it to yourself. So it's not like you're spending all your money on you and neglecting your children. It's literally across the board. Sorry, I can't afford it for me. Sorry, I can't afford it for you, and so on. So I saw this picture, and at this particular time, I wasn't, you know, a millionaire. I wasn't wealthy or none of that stuff. I was making decent money with Enagic at this point, probably like 20 grand a month, but I didn't have that security of stopping or leverage or like a big business. I wasn't at Dash 3 or any of this other stuff that I was working towards. And I remember seeing that image and it just pulled on my heartstrings, like really triggered me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I never ever want to be caught saying this in the future. That was like how I felt. So I posted it on Facebook and I made a caption and I said, there is no way I am going to look my future kids in the eyes and see their little hearts break because daddy didn't man up and learn how to provide more than enough for his family. Quit being sorry. Do something about it. Note to self. It was a note to self and also the note to my Facebook. And then it was hashtag real talk, hashtag GPM lifestyle. Then I got this reminder yesterday, 8 years later, and my daughter's 3.5 years old. And of course, we don't buy her every single thing that she wants for different reasons, not because we can't afford it, but because we're teaching her different principles around, like, we don't just freaking get everything. But anytime it's something that I would want to say yes to and my wife wants to say yes to, and it could be a little bit of money, it could be a lot of money. We've never said to her, I've never said it to my wife either, that sorry, we can't afford it. And if I ever feel like it's a stretch, then I get right back to work. I go, man, I can't believe that I felt uncomfortable spending that money on whatever it was. I need to get back to work. I need to go help more people. I need to level up my skills. I need to work harder. I need to work smarter. I need to make that last thing that made me uncomfortable to spend X become comfortable to the point like it doesn't faze me. And so I just had this moment and I was like, yesterday I go, sorry, we can't afford it. I'm like, how many times have I said that? I like literally thought about it. And I'm like, zero, zero. Isn't that so powerful, guys? And so this is what we're helping people create. And I feel like a lot of the time, our own personal story, our childhood, our experience is shaping us to help that person, you know, like reaching back to them and helping them and making a difference. Like there are some people in the community that have children that are older. Maybe they already grew up and moved out from home before you even found this business. And so your experience as a parent had a lot of challenges, right? And there are certain things that trigger you and remind you of how difficult it was at that particular time. And that's actually perfect because it's serving you now to put that into your marketing and to basically be the wise individual that can go and speak to the 30 years ago, 50 years ago, year or whatever, however many years ago it was. You can speak back to that person and go, look, I wish I would have found something like this back then, but I didn't even know it existed. And the internet wasn't around and social media wasn't a thing, right? Literally from generation to generation, the concept of what we're talking about today literally did not exist 25 plus years ago. So of course that many people were put in a situation where this was in their wildest dreams or maybe not even there. So I find like for me right now at this particular stage of my life, and I got a second baby on the way, which I'm so excited about, so grateful for, that I really want to be speaking to that demographic of 25 to 30 year olds that are thinking about having kids. They're possibly working crazy hours. They're hustling their faces off. You know, they found their partner in life. Maybe they're just thinking about getting married or whatever, but the kids aren't really in the picture yet. I want to be speaking directly to them and be like, listen, man, when I was your age, this is the stuff I was thinking about. And it took me 7 years from knowing like this is what I wanted to creating it before my first child was born. But I pulled it off. I did it. I'm a living, breathing example that this is possible. This is a thing. And I want to really be able to push that message forward to those men, primarily men who are, you know, in that predicament. It's a bit of a predicament. It's like, okay, well, do I wait to have children, which has pros and cons to it, or do I do it sooner, but I'm not really set up financially. I don't really have a business that can support my family, but I'm going to do it anyways and just kind of figure it out as I go. That's like that sweet spot where I feel like people are really truly having to choose what is my priority? What am I willing to do to exchange the possibilities in the future from being like, hey, sorry, we can't afford it, to, of course, baby girl, let's plan it right away. When do you want to go? Tomorrow, we can do that. It's a very different experience, very different reality, right? So anyways, I wanted to share that with you guys because I think it's really powerful to like have those moments of clarity where we get to do better ourselves. We get to improve. Like there's that famous saying, right? Once you know better, you can do better. So we need awareness first. We need to overcome some of our ignorances in life to how things are. And then we need to be able to shift not only our own lives and our own stories, but be able to spread that message back to those people who are not yet aware that this is possible. And that's what's happening in this community. And I'm just so proud of all of you guys that you're doing this and you're making those adjustments, you're improving yourself, you're giving your children and your family a different experience. And it doesn't really matter how it specifically plays out. I don't want to ever make someone feel guilty or bad that they didn't do what I did, because we're not the same person. We're not on the same journey. But we can always use whatever happened, good or bad, it's all a perspective. We can use that and just use it in our messaging, right? Turn our message into our message and say, look, I didn't crack this code until my kids were X years old. Or maybe you don't have kids yet, but you're like, damn, now I have a target and a goal and a vision to have kids in a few years or whenever you're ready. And I can really set things up a different way. And one of the things that makes me so happy is seeing a lot of younger couples and families in GPM who have been able to walk in a similar footsteps as myself, where they were together, they were building their business, and then they had their first baby. Now they're traveling with their newborn in freedom. They're experiencing all kinds of cool stuff. They're working from home online, like making money. And like, I just keep seeing these stories in the community of like that duplicating, you know what I'm saying? And that's how we change the world. That's how we change the dynamics of broken families, divorce, all that stuff. That narrative is something we are actually changing. And at first, it starts off kind of small, but when you do it long enough, right, when you put in the decades of work and you have the compounding effect and it becomes normalized, it becomes accepted, it becomes weird. Like right now, if you work online, there's still a little bit of weirdness around it. Oh, what do you mean? Isn't everything online a scam? There's still that stigma and perception by a lot of people in the world. There will be a time in the coming years where it's like, oh, you have a job? What are you doing? Like, it's going to be shocking to have people still doing it the old way. Just like right now, like if you met somebody and they didn't have a proper, what's it called? Like North America or first world countries, right? Like if you didn't have running water to like a toilet in your house and you had to like go poo in the backyard in like a bucket, that would be weird, right? People would be like, yo, what? You poo in a bucket, bro? Like it's 2024. Like you don't have running water in a toilet? It's kind of like that. Or, you know, smashing rocks and sticks together, trying to like make a fire to like cook your meal. They're a little bit weird, right? Like you can't just press a button and have fire, like all this kind of stuff. So eventually it will be like that. It'll be like, you have a job? That's weird, man. Like, you know, it's 2024, right? You know, there's this thing online, right? And people be like, oh, no, like it will shift. And we just happen to be way ahead of that overall in the masses. And it's really exciting to be here because it's only going to get better and simpler and more streamlined and more obvious. The objections will start to decline. The benefits will start to grow. Like it's all shifting in that direction. And you can probably already feel it if you've been in the community for a while and you've been doing this for 2, 3, 4 years, like you poo in a bucket, bro. Yeah, pretty much, right? Like that's weird, man. Like what are you doing? Like you have a 9-to-5, you leave your family for most of the day. What are you doing, man? You know what I mean? Like you haven't traveled with your kids. You haven't done cool stuff and like spend time with them. You're still putting them in public school. What are you doing, man? You know, like that's going to happen. It's already happening, but it's going to happen in a more, it will be a tipping scale. Anyways, that's so funny. You poo in a bucket? but yeah, so I'm not necessarily, you know, specifically talking about 9-to-5 is bad or all this kind of stuff. That's not what I'm saying. It serves a purpose. But once you have the awareness and you understand there's a different, better way, it will continue to shift in that direction. And the numbers are proof, right? Like I was just having a conversation earlier today and I was talking about how like we're doing $21 million in sales. And at the beginning of this year, January, it was 17 million for the month. Then it was 19 million. Then it was 20 million. Then it was 21 million. In 4 months, you know what I mean? Like we're up significantly in 4 months. So the numbers are going in the right direction. And the reason for that is because the conversation is shifting. People are understanding what's going on. There is no denying that the current plan that they're on is ineffective and it's actually digging them a hole. It's like you're literally in quicksand. You're like, yeah, my life is great. You're like, bro, you're sinking. Like you're literally sinking in front of my eyes while we're talking. Like you're getting in more debt by the second. You're getting unhealthier by the second. You know, you're losing love and bonding and connection with your family by the second. Like, hello, make a change, make a decision. And then people are making a change, making a decision, which is really cool. I want a golden pee bucket though. You guys are hilarious. Like sometimes my analogies, they're just meant to stop there. Now it's turning into like a whole inside joke on the call. Just keep talking about pooing in buckets. But anyways, I want to tell you guys about something else that's really exciting. So I went to San Diego last weekend, a week ago, and I got a private meeting with Mr. Oshiro. So you guys might have seen me talk a little bit about it. And I went there for a private meeting. And originally how it started, just to give you a little context, is, as you know, I'm building the new GPM system and it's underway. It's coming together. It's really cool. We've added a bunch of additional like cool concepts and ideas and technology and stuff that wasn't even part of the original idea, but it's sort of just evolved into something magnificent. And anyways, part of that, I wanted to provide funding and help people get financing for Enagic. And so as I went through the due diligence and calls with private equity banks and people that got endless amounts of capital, it was going really well. I was about to close the deal. It was like all set up and ready to go. And then right at the like final steps, we basically discovered that it wouldn't make sense for myself or like a company that I own to receive money from people getting approved on financing only for us to turn around and send the money to Enagic for Enagic products. There's all kinds of regulatory problems with that. It's not compliant. It's high risk. It could give me liabilities for the funds. Just a lot of like headaches that I obviously would never want. And it's also high risk for the lender to do it in that particular way. So anyways, long story short, we ended up realizing like this needs to be a direct partnership with Enagic and the financing company that I had found and went through the process with. So I was like, okay, well, the only solution to this is to set up a meeting with Mr. Oshiro to present this to him. And if he likes it and he puts a stamp of approval and signs off on it, then it would actually be direct partnership and all of Enagic. For now, it will be in the US market only. That's the only way that we can do this at the moment. But anyways, all of Enagic USA sales, the whole company would benefit from this arrangement that I had set up. So I got the meeting. He was excited to hear what I had to offer. I mean, it didn't hurt that we were number one for 6 months straight with the contest. So it was timing wise, is like, if I'm ever going to be heard by the CEO around suggestions on how to improve the company, being number one is definitely going to give you like the meeting, right? So I was like, yes, timing is just too perfect. So we got the meeting and had a conversation. And when we sat down, it was just myself, him, his wife, a couple other people from corporate, and the translator, who's a young, sharp guy that I really talk to all the time. He's great. So we have this meeting, and it was kind of nerve-wracking from the standpoint of the translation, because I was saying it in English, then there was a translation, then he was writing notes in Japanese, kind of nodding his head like he understands what I'm saying, and that was it. It was like his poker face. He didn't really ask much questions. We didn't have a back and forth for like 2 hours. I was just like, here's my idea. We could do it like this. And I'm like, this is how I feel like it would help over here, and we could lower costs over here. And I was literally acting like CEO of Enagic in terms of my thoughts and input and ideas and things like this. And so the one thing that I didn't mention is right at the beginning, because of the unique nature of the meeting, I asked if I could film the meeting. I was like, hey, do you mind if I set up a little camera over here and just document this? And he said, yes. And I was like, yo, this is so sick. I got a 2-hour video of me presenting ideas, it being translated in Japanese to Mr. Oshiro, nodding his head and writing notes. And I'm like, this is like literally gold. Like, this is the most epic piece of content, you know? So I filmed it all. And then as we get to the end of the meeting, I still don't really know if he likes it. Like, he was nodding his head. It was a little bit like, maybe he likes some of it. I actually give him 3 ideas instead of 1. Very clear ideas. I had proposals, printouts, diagrams, charts, like super prepared. Gave everybody a copy, all this stuff. And at the very end, I say, so he goes, all right, you done? Like, you shared everything you want to share? I'm like, yeah, thanks for your time. I'm really grateful for this opportunity. And I'm excited to hear your feedback, like what you like best. And I'm like, by the way, which idea out of the 3 I shared with you did you like the best? And he kind of like giggles with this like cute old man giggle. He kind of chuckles to himself and he looks down at his notes and he flips a couple pages. And then he looks at the translator guy and he says to him, he goes, I like all 3 and we're going to move forward. And, you know, thanks for presenting it. He's like, if you ever have any more ideas that could improve Enagic, I'm always like willing to listen to you and sit down with you and talk to you. And I was like, no way, you know, like this is epic. So that's where we're at right now, is that he's down. He's excited. He loved the direction of my ideas. There is a very small, slim chance that they might announce some of it at convention in Japan in Okinawa as like coming soon. Like, this is like the future. This is what we're going to be doing. I can't really reveal all the specific details yet because, as you guys know me, I have tons of big ideas and I gave so many variations of how my ideas could work. So it wasn't just like one set plan. I was like, we could do it like this. These are the pros and cons of this idea. We could also do it like this. We could do it a combination like this. So I kind of really gave a lot of variations. And so he's taking it all in, deciding like what makes sense for his vision. And obviously he's the genius behind the company. So it's going to be his final decision in the end, but they're moving all the ideas forward to due diligence, to the next steps. Yeah, everybody get your poo buckets out. Bobby, you're hilarious. But it's going to be really exciting. And so the point here is that as we get closer to the 50th anniversary convention, my intuition and how I'm feeling is it really is the turning of the guard. It really is this one generation that brought us to this point. And I truly believe that their mission, their contribution, all the OGs, the original top leaders of this company, their job was the hardest by far. They will always go down in the history books as the hardest, most challenging core group of individuals because they didn't have any of the stuff that we now have. We have the credibility of $1 billion a year company, right? We have the credibility of them restructuring their corporate team on the Enagic side to basically go back to the drawing board and go, these are some things that we need to improve. These are some things that we need to change, because they know that if this is what got them to $1 billion a year, some things need to change to go to $5 billion or $10 billion a year for all of us to be able to level up. So I'm just so grateful for everyone who has gotten us to this point. I'm sort of on the middle of this, like, part of my contributions over the last 11 years has gotten to this point. But prior to that, if it wasn't for the leadership of the top OGs, you know, I wouldn't have even came back to Enagic, because with my 5 years break that I had, I actually saw the growth that happened during that 5 years. I knew where things were at. And then there was a 5 year gap. And then when I kind of got back in the game, I'm like, wait a second, you've ranked up and you've done this and sales are over here. And now we're in all these new markets around the world. Like, so much growth happened in that 5 years that I was inspired to be like, shit, this company's scaling, this company's growing. Now I'm going to get involved and like continue and add value however I can, which got us to this point. But I truly feel that when we arrive in Okinawa, Japan at the 50th anniversary, that weekend, those few days will be the shifting of energies, the shifting of the guard. This new momentum will start to scale and Enagic will start to reinvent itself in this modern way with all the stuff that we love about the company staying as it is, but all the little kinks and twerks and like stuff that doesn't quite make sense and it makes things hard and whatever. It's just like, man, if only we can like make these few tweaks and adjustments, I feel like all of that is going to start being the priority to dial things in. They're now ready for input from myself and other top leaders. And so, yeah, we're really going to take this company to be the best, most incredible place to be. And it's going to be known globally. Like, everybody's going to be like, yo, you're a part of Enagic. You're a top leader in Enagic. Like, it's like, imagine being the top leader of Apple as an affiliate, or, you know, these mega companies like Google, Facebook, whatever. It's like, you're the top guy over there. You're making a global impact over there. Damn, like, my hat's off to you. Respect, because that company has gone on to change the whole world. That's literally what you have here. And so I'm giving you this insight because I know where I've come from in this business. I know a lot of you on this call or listening to this replay or listening to the podcast are newer. You haven't seen the evolution as much. You've just seen these little micro adjustments and changes over the time. But this is what you're truly a part of. And it's only going to get better. It's only going to get more exciting. Even with some of these little things, like they're changing the prices in the US, like they haven't changed the prices in 21 years. It's actually shocking that they haven't adjusted the prices sooner. So we're just very fortunate that they're adjusting it a little bit. I think it's not even that much. It's going to be 5 to 8% more. So it's not even that drastic. But they will also be changing the commissions to reflect that. So they will still be the same sort of percentages. So we'll actually make more money per point, even though the products will cost a little bit more. It's just all so, so, so exciting, guys. So with that being said, I want to share a couple of the details around the numbers, just so you guys can have some inspiration. And then we can kind of wrap up this call. But one of the things I've been thinking a lot about recently, for those of you in the business that are just kind of getting going, is, Are you actually setting goals? This is the one other thing I really want to talk about. Because we expect, like for me, the idea of not setting goals and not having targets, not having a vision for where I want to be is non-existent. I would rather be dead than live my life without goals because I just feel like they're that important. But sometimes I have to remind myself, like maybe not everybody else actually treats goals the same way. So let's talk a little bit about that. I believe that we need to all set very clear targets for where we want to be and have them be measurable in a way that we can track if we are on track or off track. So when we look at our path to 6A or our path to Japan Convention to be celebrated on stage, or if you already have a team of people and you're able to see your sales results in the back office, which you start getting access to at 6A2. So anybody who's on the call or listening to the replay who's 6A2, you're going to be able to see your monthly sales numbers, your sales data. And the people that are growing, the people that are scaling and their income is improving, they have very clear targets and they tell that to their team. They say, look, our target is to grow by 10% this month. So we had this, you know, we had 100 sales this month. We have to get at least 110 sales next month. And so everybody is constantly looking at how they can improve their numbers, how they can adjust their marketing strategy, and they're very numbers oriented when it comes to their goals. There are other people out there who just kind of fly by the seat of their pants. They just wish for the best. They hope things grow. They hope things improve, whether it's financially, customers, sales, leaders, whatever the metric is. And they don't really care what the outcome is. They're just like, oh, it was a good month. It was a slow month. It was this month. It's like, that's not the winning mentality. The winning mentality is you're driving forward. You're growing forward, right? And when I'm looking at numbers in my organization, this is the lifeblood, whether or not we're doing well or not, whether we need to go in there and talk to certain people to improve stuff or make adjustments or whatever the case is. But when things are growing at the pace that they're growing, there is no need to be concerned. There's no need to worry. So in your guys' case, whether you're brand new and just getting going, or you have a team of people that are already producing, how actively are you pursuing setting goals that are driven in data and metrics, whether you can see where you're growing or not? This is so, so, so important. So look at your year so far. And if you haven't been tracking the numbers and actually having some predictions of where you're going, some projections of where you're going, and then be able to match and see, be like, okay, how much have we grown? And I'll tell you guys one crazy story that made me think about talking about this topic. So we finished the meeting with Mr. Shiro at the clubhouse. He owns like a mansion right on the golf course of the Enagic Country Club. And so we're in the house, we're having dinner at the boardroom table there. And at 6 o'clock, when I finished my meeting after 2 hours and he told me he liked my ideas, he looks at the corporate like head guy, whatever. And he's like, all right, have everybody come in. And I'm going like, I'm the only distributor in the room, right? So it wasn't one of those types of meetings where there's like all these people, all these leaders, like I've been to quite a few times. Anyways, all the managers come in from around the world, and it's Canada, US, Europe, Mexico, and there's about 20 of them in the room. So they all join us for dinner. It was great. We got to know each other. We chat, we're hanging out. And I'm kind of a little bit confused. I'm like, yo, what's with all, what? Why are all the managers here, right? I just didn't really get it. But I was happy to hang out with them. I know many of them already and stuff. And so we're hanging out. And right before we're wrapping things up, Tomo, who's one of the top guys in the company on the corporate side, he goes, Blaj, would you like to stand up and just share a few words with the room? And it's all managers and Mr. Shiro, like just corporate. That's it. And I'm like, okay, sure. So I get up, I just basically took the opportunity to thank them for all their efforts to process our sales, to, you know, make us look good in the field and allowing us to have the success that we have in the company. It wouldn't be possible without them. And so I just basically it was pure gratitude, and it was just a few minutes. They all are smiling, nodding, all this stuff. And then I sit down And then Tomo says, okay, we're going to go around the room and all the managers are going to stand up and they're going to share a few words and they're going to share their sales targets for their specific office that they work at. Okay. So first person goes, they share a couple things. And then I realized I had this like epiphany moment and I'm like, they're talking to me, right? They weren't talking to corporate. They weren't talking to Mr. Shiro. They're all directing their little speeches at me. And I'm realizing this in like real time. I'm like, what's happening? And as it starts to happen, they're like, yeah, they're kind of telling a little bit about their office. They're looking at me. And then they're saying like, thank you, Balaj, for your GPM, for organization, for your sales that you're contributing to my office because they get paid on performance and stuff. And they're like, our target for moving forward is this number. And it was like 500,000, whatever, all different numbers. I'm like, okay. So it's like 2, 3, 4 people. And then I start doing the math in my head. I'm like, wait a second, I should probably be writing this down or tracking these numbers, but I didn't have anything to write down. So I'm like, just doing it in my head. And we get to the end of the room and we're at 10,000 sales a month, right? That was my rough math. And we're doing almost 8,000 a month. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's fair. It's like 25% growth from where we are now. And they're basically all saying, thank you, Balaj, for your continued efforts with you and your organization. We know with your help and your contribution, we're going to hit our goals. No pressure, right? It's like, all right. And then finally, the last guy stands up. His name's Go. I'm really close with him. And he is an EU. He runs the whole European Union for sales. And he goes, and our target for EU is 5,000 sales. And I'm like, wait a second. Now we're at 15,000 sales a month. Anyway, and so Go kind of looks at me. He goes, Balaj, we need more sales in Europe. We really need your team to be focused in Europe. And we know that with your, you know, contribution, we'll hit the goal. Thank you very much. Like takes a bow. And I'm going, wow, this is the most incredible feeling to be in this room, having a private meeting with Mr. Shiro, which is like a dream. And then also kind of have this declaration from all the offices and all the managers that are basically saying like, with your support and your help, we expect you to double your current production to hit these new targets and these new goals. And I was like, this is absolutely unbelievable of like, and obviously I can't take personal credit for any of this. It's all of you and it's all of us combined, right? But it's just really powerful to be like, all right, let's get back to work, right? So that's kind of how we finished things off. And it was just such a surreal night. And it made me think about how Mr. Shiro with a 50-year-old company has every single office manager around the world set their own sales targets and then be compensated according to their own performance. However, they're not actually directly influencing the sales. It's just interesting. It's like, you know, what they're responsible for, they're getting inbound orders. They're not marketing. They're not advertising. They're not speaking to friends and family. They're not sharing the water. They're not doing none of that. But yet they have a monthly sales target, which is so amazing. And so they made me think about, I'm like, well, how many people in the community are approaching their business in the same way, where it's like, look, my target is 1 sale this month, 2 sales this month, 5 sales this month, 100 sales this month, whatever the number is. And then actually talking about it to their team and being like, what do we all need to do individually to get to this new common ground? And so now I'm in a position where I'm relaying their goals and their targets to all of you in our community, where what I'm saying is, what do we all need to do collectively to double our sales from 8,000 to 15,000? Because those are the targets that they have quite literally set for us. So it's like, all right. So is anybody that you know in your team, yourself included, very passive about this business? Like, do you care if you get 1 sale this month, 5 sales this month, 10 sales this month? Are you just kind of hoping for the best? You know what I'm saying? Or is it very strategic? Like, I need to contact this many people, generate this many leads, get on this many calls, and I know my closing percentage. I know how many people I need to actually, you know, communicate with to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 directs. And then being able to look at those numbers and gradually increase them on purpose with intention and not letting yourself off the hook. because when we're looking at something like Japan coming up, it's 6 weeks. We're like 6 weeks out. And if you're ever done a fitness competition, or 6 weeks out is a really big deal. It's the final pull, final stretch, tweak your diet, you know, do more cardio, get ready for the stage, get ready for the show. And that's where we are in the business sense with this company. So it's more than possible for all of you to still hit your big goals, to still hit 6A, to don't let your foot off the gas. Don't start doubting yourself. Don't start thinking, oh, it's so close, you know, forget about it. And the kids and school is going to end soon. And I still got to figure out what to wear. And I got to pack my suitcase. Like, don't go to that place. You have plenty of time to make this business work. You have plenty of time to level up your goals, to hit your 6A target, to cross that stage glorious at the next level. Do not let yourself slip into the mindset of, oh, I tried my best. Like, what do you mean? You have six freaking weeks. That's an eternity in this business, right? You can literally hit 6A in a single day if you really work your tail off. Like, you could do enough calls in a single day to have enough sales to hit 6A in one day. So look at how many opportunities you actually have between now and Japan to cross that stage is just so, so massive. You can do it. And anytime that myself and certain people in my organization have committed to hitting a goal, hitting a target before convention, we've hit it 100% of the time, which just goes to show you how badly we wanted it. We weren't messing around. We weren't, oh, it would be nice. No, like, we will fucking be the next level at this event. Period. End of story. You know, and you need to have that mentality. I promise you, it's the most incredible, glorious accomplishment and achievement. That feeling that you get of being unstoppable, of believing in yourself, of knowing that you can do it bigger and better and badder every single time is a priceless feeling, because that's how we build the blocks of our self-worth on top of each other. We don't just go from broke, busted, disgusted, in debt to wealthy millionaire. No, it's a gradual step-by-step process. So wherever you are right now, and the level that you can get to by Japan is a block in your self-worth process. And you need to build that block and go, I got this shit. I know I can. I'm doing whatever it takes. And then you build the block. And then next year, you know, between this convention and the next convention, you have another opportunity to build another block. And that's how you build your business. And when you look back in 11 years, like myself, you know, you could be -3, -4, -5, whatever the level is, but you literally built it piece by piece. So do not miss the true gravity of this monumental anniversary. This is not a joke, guys. 50 years is not a joke. It is so, so massive that I just really wish and hope that nothing else is on your mind. You're not distracted. You're not talking yourself out of it. You're not, you know, retreating, waving the white flag and being like, oh, you know, I wasn't able to do it this time. Yes, you can, especially when the target is 6A. 6A is by far the most attainable goal in this business because it is within arm's reach. You know what I mean? It's like 35 people who get three products each. That's it. If I told you it was thousands of people, it would be much harder to believe and like comprehend, like, how exactly does this going to work? It's 35 people. Like, look around you. You could go to the grocery store and there'd be 35 plus people there. You know what I'm saying? People are everywhere. It's not hard. You just have to be willing to go to that level and make it happen. And if you're already 6A and higher, then obviously there's another level that you can be focusing on as well. But don't miss this opportunity, because you'll look back on it. If you have children, if you have a family, like, this is our Super Bowl. This is like when you win the gold medal. That's what this is. That's what it represents. And it's a big deal. And so I've never, you know, shied away from the challenge. And so have so many of you. You guys have pulled it off in the past. And I know so many of you are going to pull it off this time as well. And I just got confirmation that I will be speaking, which is really exciting, on the big day on the 22nd. For 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I'm not exactly sure yet, but they just told me that when I was in San Diego last week. So that's really cool for those of you coming. If you don't, you know, you're not sick and tired of hearing me talk, then you'll get a chance to hear me talk for another 20 minutes minimum at the event as well, which is so, so cool. And that's pretty much it for today, guys. I just wanted to check mic 1, 2, 1, 2. I should have probably done that at the beginning of the call instead of a mic check at the end of the call. But anyways, I just wanted to check in with you guys, see how you're doing, remind you that you can do this, remind you of the beautiful journey that we're on. Things are heating up. Momentum is brewing. The word is getting out. This is no longer a sleeping giant. This giant is awake. It is rumbling. The volcano is going to erupt and continue to erupt with abundance and good health and freedom. And I'm just so proud of you guys for committing to this journey, because it's the most beautiful journey we can be on, to be honest. Like this, along with growing a family and loving our family and our friends and our personal development, our personal growth, like this is to me the whole purpose of life itself. Like, how can we become our best version of ourselves? How can we experience life to the fullest? How can we give back, make a difference, be healthy, take care of our loved ones? I mean, this is it, guys. It doesn't get better than this, in my opinion. So remind yourself of that. Continue to enjoy the journey despite anything that might be happening. Remind your team often that you believe in them. Sometimes it's just important to have that reminder. And if you need help, there's a supportive community around you. Reach out. You're never alone. You are never like asking like dumb questions or like, you know what I mean? We're here, we're in your corner. And so if you really are in a tough place, dark place with anything in your life, make sure that you reach out, you know, reach out in the community, get on the phone with somebody. We got your back. Make sure that you guys are emptying the poo buckets in your backyard, you know, so they don't get out of hand. And we'll see you again next month. I'll be heading to Japan a little early, going to Tokyo with the family, like middle of June. I'll be on a trip for a few weeks. So going to go to Japan. Obviously, I meant Tokyo, Okinawa, and then Hawaii on the way back. I'm going to be staying, I think, at the Big Island this time. I've been to like Oahu and I've been to Maui and stuff, but I think we're going to be checking out Big Island for the very, very first time. And it's going to be a fun time, fun trip with my family, my pregnant wife, my mom, my brother might be coming. We have to still talk about that. And my beautiful baby girl who absolutely adores Hawaii. She's obsessed. She talks about it like she's got her vacation property there or something. It's hilarious. Oh, let's go back to Hawaii. I'm like, you're hilarious. You're three. Anyways, much love to all of you, especially all my Hawaii fam. Maybe I'll get a chance to see you guys on the Big Island when I come out. We'll catch up. All right, much love to you guys. Take care. I hope you found something useful here to help you unlock more freedom in your life. We're just getting started. So if there's something you want to hear or a guest you want me to have on the podcast, shoot me a message at The Diamond Life Mentor on Instagram and let me know. You can discover incredibly helpful resources and more ways to build your diamond life now at my website, balazswcardos.com. At the end of the day, this is all about bettering yourself and helping others. So if you think you can help someone else by sharing this podcast, that would be the ultimate win for me. And of course, subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening.